who are under threat by their neighbors or by the government. We know that these dear souls are precious to you. They're in your family, and you care so much about them. We thank you that we too belong to Christ, and we're part of the body. Help us to understand your word. Spirit, open our minds and our hearts to show us Christ and to help us understand the word of God so that we can believe it and walk in it and have you work through us, producing your fruit in our lives and touching the world, blessing the world, bringing light to the world through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I'd like us to imagine a little bit if we were one of the people among Jesus' disciples. Have you ever done that? Wondered what's it like to walk with Jesus, to see him do miracles, to touch people, and be right there seeing it all. Travel around with Jesus, be with him 24/7. Now these guys, they knew what Jesus was like. It wasn't like going to a elementary school or a high school or a college where you spend an hour or two with a teacher and you just see them a few days a week, or even church where we just see each other for an hour or two. They spent 24/7 with Jesus. They knew what he was like. They saw how he lived. They saw how he interacted with everyone. They knew whether or not this man was sincere. Did he say one thing and do another, or was he what he said? And so they believed in him. They trusted him. And they knew that God was with him. They saw the miracles, but they also saw the man. They saw his heart. And you just think, what could be better than to walk around with Jesus, seeing him interact with people, loving the people, healing their diseases, teaching them about the kingdom of God? And then the disciples actually assisted him. They were distributing the bread to more than 5,000 people. It was multiplying in their hands. How did that feel to do that? The fish and the bread. And he gave them authority, and they went out casting out demons and healing diseases in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. What was that like? It was amazing that Jesus was with them. And when they would hear him teach, and they didn't always understand what he was saying, and so they, in private, they'd say, what did you mean when you talked about the man went out to sow and he cast the seed on four different kinds of soils? What does that mean? We don't understand. And he would teach them. Imagine how great that would be to have Jesus as your teacher. And in fact, many times when he taught his disciples, they didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't know what he meant. They would ask each other, and they would even argue over what he said. And then Jesus would correct them and instruct them so that they could understand. But they still didn't understand everything. Can you imagine that? That Jesus was right there, and they were listening to him and talking to him. And then Jesus said something that they couldn't believe. He said, I'm leaving, and a better teacher is coming. I'm leaving, and a better leader is coming. Who could be a better teacher and a better leader than Jesus himself? He said, it's really to your advantage that I go away. Because when I go away, I will send the helper, the paraclete, the counselor. The Spirit of truth will come, and he will teach you, and he will guide you into everything. How could that be better than to have Jesus right there? It sounds almost like heresy to say that. That someone could teach better than Jesus, someone could lead better than Jesus. It sounds like heresy. And then, remember, just before he left, he gave them a global task. He said, All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. All nations? Yes. We better get busy. We better get started. How can we do this? Make disciples of all nations. You got to be kidding. But he said, wait. What? Wait, you're not ready for this. You can't start this job until you're ready. And when will you be ready? He said, you'll be ready when the substitute teacher gets here. Now, some of you have been teachers, and some of you have subbed as teachers, and you know what? It's kind of like Rodney Dangerfield. I don't get no respect. Like, who's going to respect a substitute teacher? Especially if you loved your teacher, and your teacher was a good teacher. How could someone possibly be a better teacher? And there's going to be a new leader. We don't want a new leader. We want Jesus. But Jesus said, it's actually for your advantage that I leave and the new teacher comes. Now, that's really hard for us to believe. But let's consider what happened. All of the prophets talked about the time when the Messiah would come and fulfill the promises. Jesus came, he did that. He fulfilled the old covenant in order to bring in the new covenant. And that means Jesus changed everything. Everything is different. But he said, you have to wait until I leave, and then the Father sends the Spirit in my place. Here's one of the prophecies that God gave. He gave it through Ezekiel. Let's read this together. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. Here's another one through Jeremiah. Let's read that. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. So what covenant is this? The Mosaic covenant. They brought them out of Egypt. And notice what he says. They didn't keep it. They broke it. What is his relationship to them? Husband. That's not what he told Pharaoh. What did he tell Pharaoh? Israel is what? My son. My firstborn son. And so God has a relationship with us through covenant. Remember, covenant creates the strongest bond there is. What's the strongest bond? Family. Covenant creates family where there is no family. And the way, and the covenants that were used then, and they're still used today, one of the first covenant is marriage. What's the second one? Adoption. And so this introduces a new parent-child relationship that didn't exist before, that wasn't there naturally. And then the third one is brotherhood, a brotherhood covenant. I had a personal relationship with them, as personal as husband and wife, as personal as son and father, and they broke it. But he said, this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, and I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. That's the new covenant. No longer would it be written on tablets of stone. It would be written on their hearts. It would no longer be external. It would be from the inside out, not from the outside in. They were learning what to do, but they weren't motivated to do it. But with the new covenant, God would work in them to motivate them to do it. So that's why Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now think about it. Before this, Jesus was talking to them. He was standing there communicating with his voice like I'm doing right now. If they didn't understand him, they could ask him questions, but often they didn't ask him questions. They asked each other. They didn't want to be embarrassed. They didn't want to have the wrong answer. Now, there was one guy, he always blurted out the answer right or wrong. Who was that? Peter. And I thank God for Peter, because most of the other guys were too afraid to say anything. And sometimes he had the wrong answer, and they'd go, they'd snicker. And sometimes he had the right answer. Remember a time when he asked the question and they had the right answer? He had the right answer. He said, who do people say that I am? And then who do you say that I am? Oh, the people say you're a great prophet, like Jeremiah or Elijah or one of those guys. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of God. And then what did the Lord say to Peter? Peter, this was revealed to you not by flesh and blood, but by my Father. And so Peter, in listening to Jesus, somehow God the Father communicated to Peter's heart and told him truth. And he got it right. And the other guys are going, oh, I wish I had said that. But then Peter says something right immediately afterwards to show that he didn't understand everything. After this, the Lord says, I have to go to Jerusalem. I'll be betrayed, handed over to the Jewish leaders. They'll put me to death. And on the third day, I'll rise from the dead. And Peter said, no, no, no. Get that idea out of your head. That's never going to happen to you. And he said, Peter, you're acting like the devil. You are thinking like men and not like God. You're in my way. Get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine that? So one minute he has a revelation from God, and the next minute he's speaking thoughts from the devil, and he didn't know the difference. And that's how we are often. Why? Because that's the old covenant. God raises up a prophet. He speaks words. The people listen. They talk to each other. What does he say? What does that mean? And they don't know. And they argue about it. And you can argue about it and say, this is the right way. And this group said, no, they're wrong. And so pretty soon we have a division. Now we have two churches. The church that says A and the church that says B. And then that church can divide again and that church can divide again. Has that happened? Has the church divided? There's like 33,000 Protestant denominations. More than that, really. Arguing about who's right and who's wrong. And what message does that give to the world? He said, he prayed, Father, make them one as we're one so that the world will know that they are my disciples. And yet, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're acting under the old covenant. We heard the guy. We read the words. What does it mean? I don't know. What do you think it means? I don't know. What do you think it means? And then we argue and we fight and we divide. We have no power and we have no witness. What do we need? We need the Spirit of God teaching us. Now, when they asked Jesus, he would tell them. And usually they could understand. And what God wants us to do is ask Jesus. But through the Holy Spirit. Let's read this. John 14, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. What does he mean? With you and in you. This is at the same time when the Lord said, this is during the Last Supper, And it's just after he said, "You know where I'm going, and you know the way I'm going." "Sir, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way." "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father," that's where he's going, "except through me, and he's the way." So they're going. He's going to the Father, and he's the way that we go through the Father. And then Philip said, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied with that." "Philip, Philip, if you've been with me so long that you don't know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." They were not understanding. But he said this, "I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Verse 20. Verse 24, it says, "The Father and I will come and make our dwelling in you." The Father and the Son will dwell in the church. How is that possible? In the person of the Holy Spirit. In the person of the Holy Spirit. So, I said it sounds a little bit like heresy to say there's a teacher better than Jesus. Well, you can't really say that because the teacher is Jesus. So we're not replacing the teacher with a better teacher. What we're doing is we're finding a better place for the teacher to be. And that is instead of the teacher being with us, talking at us, the teacher is inside us. Instead of just teaching us with our ear, he's teaching us through the heart. So he'll be with us and he'll be in us. And so it's the same teacher, but he's inside. But here's the difficult part. If I'm talking to you, how many of you people am I talking to? Raise your hand. How many of you are asleep? So I'm talking to you. Do you understand my words? Okay, good. Do you understand everything I've been saying? Probably not. But you're doing it by listening to words. And you know, it's easy to miscommunicate, but we're used to that. We hear words and we understand what people are saying mostly, and then we can decide whether we believe it, whether it's important, whether we want to do it or not. But we know how to do that process. But how do you listen with your heart? You have a class in this? Did you get trained listening to with your heart? Children grow up listening and they repeat it, but to follow the Holy Spirit, we have to listen with our hearts. And that's a little difficult. That's a different process. And to be a church filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to learn how to do that. And the first place that starts is with prayer. And so let's pray right now. Father, by your Spirit, help us to hear your voice speaking inside of us, each one of us, and also the group of us, because you've made us a unit. We're united together in Christ like members in a body. Help us to help one another in hearing your voice and in following your voice. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with power that we might be united in love. We might be united in your purpose, in your will, and that we might live before the world, showing them that we are your disciples. Give us understanding. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. For through the law, I died to the law. What does he mean? The old covenant. The old covenant said, I'm temporary. Don't do this forever. I'm leading to something better and bigger. The old covenant led to the new covenant. The word of God written on stone, or the word of God written on paper, was to lead to the word of God written on our hearts so that we can follow from the inside out. Now, does the Spirit ever lead against the Word of God? No. The Spirit of God conceived Christ in the womb of Mary. The Spirit of God conceived the Word of God in the prophets. But if we only read the prophets as an external word, It says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so we have to read the Word through the help of the Spirit. I, through the law, died to the law. So why? Why be dead? That I might live for God. I, through the law, died to the law that I might live for God. Let's say that. For through the law, I died to the law that I might live for God. Again. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. For I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Say that. For I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. I don't see everybody's lips moving. This is a strange teaching, but it's true. It's mysterious. But by your faith in Christ, you have been crucified with Christ. Also, that doesn't sound very much fun, but you've also been raised with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. How does Christ live in us? In the person of the Holy Spirit. The three in one are inside of us. The Father and the Son make their home inside of us. That's the new covenant. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is this true? This is true. Do we often do this? No. We often live under the Old Testament. That's why Paul went on to say in Galatians how important it was to not make that mistake, because the Galatians were making it. Now, we can't be hard on them because we often make it ourselves. I do not set aside the grace of God. The grace of God comes to us in the new covenant. Christ fulfilled the old covenant so that we might have the grace of God. He said, if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. We have righteousness because of Christ. Christ in our place. He died for us that we might die to our old life and live for him. Then the very next verse, that's the end of chapter 2, the very next verse, he says to the Galatians, you foolish Galatians, who's put a spell on you so you can't see what's going on? Before your very eyes, we preached Christ and you could see him crucified. So tell me, I want to learn something from you. How did you receive the Spirit? By observing the law, keeping the old covenant, or by trusting the Word of God by believing what you heard? Are you foolish after beginning with the Spirit? And the answer was, no, we didn't do it by fulfilling the old covenant. We did it by believing the gospel that Jesus Christ fulfilled the covenant for us. And believing that, we were justified. God declared us righteous because we're united in Christ in his death and in his resurrection. So he says, now that you've begun in the Spirit, will you attain your goal or finish and be complete or grow up in your faith through the flesh or by human effort? The answer again, it's obvious and it's no. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you are fulfilling the old covenant? No. Or because you're living by faith in what Christ has done? You believe what you heard about Christ? The answer is, yeah, that's why. That's how. And so we're not beating up on the Galatians. We're saying how easy it is for God's people to be confused. Starting out walking by faith, and then the next thing you know, we're trying to fulfill the old covenant in our strength. Jesus, help me to be the best Christian I can be. No. Lord, live through me. Live through me. The old covenant is help me to keep your law and keep your word. The new covenant is, you are living through me. Here's some verses that talk about waiting. He says, repentance and forgiveness of sins have we preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what the Father promised. So don't start being my witnesses until this happens. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high, meaning the Holy Spirit. The same author wrote this. Luke wrote this in Acts. And so Jesus, just before he was taken up, he said, you are my witnesses. You're going to tell it in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. But don't leave Jerusalem until this happens, until the gift my Father promised comes to you. And then he says, just as John baptized with water, Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Well, what about us? We don't need Jesus to go to the cross again. We don't need Jesus to come out of the grave again. We don't need Pentecost to happen again. It's happened. The Spirit has come. But what we need is we need to be filled again with the Spirit. And so that's why he gave us this promise or this instruction. He said, be careful how you live. Don't be unwise, but be wise. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. What's the Lord's will for you and me? Living in the new covenant. Living by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Don't be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. But instead, be drunk on the Spirit. That is, be filled, be controlled by the Spirit. If someone drinks too much wine, they get controlled by it. He said, don't be controlled by drugs or alcohol or some substance. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. How do we do that? We yield ourselves to him. The disciples were with Jesus 24/7. He was the leader, and they did everything he told them to do. He taught them, and they tried to learn it. They had a difficult time because he told them things that they couldn't understand. Remember when they said, we'll die for you, they meant it. They were ready to fight and die for Jesus. They weren't cowards, but what they weren't ready for was for Jesus to be a sheep and to just put his hands forward and say, here, take me. They were ready for a fight. But when Jesus just surrendered, they go, that's not what we thought. Where's the power of God? Where's the kingdom of God coming with fire? Where's God punishing his enemies? They didn't understand. But later, they did. So that same Peter, who denied Christ 3 times on the day of Pentecost, preached boldly right in Jerusalem, right before all the leaders, right before Herod, right before the chief priests and all the Pharisees and Sadducees. He preached boldly before them. The people were touched. Their hearts were moved. 3,000 believed that day. That's a pretty good sermon. 3,000 were added to the church that day, and they continued to do that. How did they do it? Because they were filled with the Spirit of God. So the new year, how should we live it? We can do like the Galatians did, who got confused and said, let's try to keep God's word the best we understand it. Let's argue about it. And let's try to keep it in the best, in our own strength, the best we can. Or let's give ourselves to Christ and him inside of us and let God live through us and teach us from the inside out. And so that we come to the Spirit of God and we say, just like we would say to Jesus if we were there, like, what you said, I don't understand that. What did you mean when you said that? What does that mean for me? And ask the Spirit of God to teach us. What do you mean? How am I supposed to think? What am I supposed to do? And he will answer us. Now, what are the ways that he answers us? What's the first way that the Spirit of God answers us? He will remind, most of what God wants us to do is written down. It tells us the things to do and not do, and also what kind of people to be, how to treat people. And these are big principles. But also, he put us in a body so that we're all dependent upon one another. And maybe the thing that God wants you to hear, someone else knows. How will you hear it? We have to talk to each other. We have to listen to each other. We have to submit to one another. We have to rely on one another. We can't do that if we're all just like people shopping in the same mall or going to the same store. And so we have to be related to one another. So it means yielding ourselves to the Word of God, yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God, and yielding ourselves to one another, the body of Christ. And then prayer. We need to pray and say, Lord, help us. Because there are some things that are not written in the Bible. Like how we apply these things. A lot of that's not written there. And he wants us to use our minds. He wants us to use our intelligence. But not everything is according to intelligence. Sometimes we make a plan and God interrupts it. And so we have to be willing to let God interrupt it. So now, let's pray together as a group. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that Jesus Christ came, born a real human, born as a baby, just like all of us have been born. We thank you, Lord, that he lived a real human life and he died a real human death, that your law would be fulfilled, that your covenant would be fulfilled, and he would bring in the new covenant by his blood. When we take communion, we say that. We're reminded that your blood has fulfilled the covenant. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and being that sacrifice. You changed everything. What was promised has now come about. Help us to live in that new covenant. Help us to live in that new relationship. Help us to hear with our ears one another, but also with our hearts, the very voice of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. Help us to hear in our hearts. Lord, help us as a church to sense your leading as we go forward into a new year. Lord, we need your power to affect this community, to be your witnesses. So fill us individually and corporately. Fill us with your Spirit. We can't do this in our own strength. The disciples couldn't do it in their own strength. They could do it in the strength that you delegated. And now you said it's to our advantage that you went away physically that you might come to us in the Spirit. And now the body of Christ is all over the world. And every group of believers has the Father and the Son right there in the midst. Thank you for that. Lord, help us to understand and believe that that's true in our lives. And may we yield ourselves to you living through us so that the life that we live in the body, we live by faith in the Son of God. Live your life through us, Lord Jesus. Help us to cooperate with you and to see that you guide us and lead us and you empower us. You are the power that was promised, and we have it. Help us to live in that. I'm not going to say amen, because I don't want us to stop praying. Instead, I want you to get in groups of three or four, or however many you want, and I want us to pray right now. Pray for the church. Pray for the new year. Pray for the Frasers. This is their last Sunday here. They're going to Jordan. Janie will go for 2 weeks, and John's going for the month. You'll see us again, but then my wife and I are leaving for Thailand. But pray for us as a church. Pray that we will be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and He will say what He wants to do in this place, in this community, and show us how He wants us to be His witnesses here in Dearborn in specific ways. And pray for your family. We were last night with Debbie's family on Lake Erie, actually. Her brother has now built a mansion on Lake Erie. But they have not wanted to talk to us for a couple of years, and we've been praying about them, and so they invited us and the whole family to come. The youngest daughter just went into the Army. She's a dog trainer. It's going to be drugs or bombs. So you can pray for her. And her name is Angela, and she says she knows she's in the will of God. But pray for us that we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and pray for yourself. If there's anything that's you're saying no to God, give it back. Say, Lord, I belong to you. So let's get up, stand up, move around. I want us to be in groups, the group the size you feel comfortable.